This is a question every Christ-serving dad ought to ask himself daily. Far more important than the questions, did I take my son fishing? Did I take my son to the ball game? Is the question, will I take my son to heaven? The answer is that you won't, unless you, as his father, dedicate yourself to a supreme effort. Sir, I ask you to face Isaiah 49:25 in this service. It reads, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. That verse is in the book of God, which is your lamp. It is a forfeited biblical privilege to permit your children to be lost. The Bible is never obscure about this point. The obscurity is our negligence. I've learned this. I must stake my claim in the Word of God. I must stand upon the promise. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand up to the promises, stand up to the enemy. Now, what are the promises? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You, my Christian father, are saved to be a partaker. Here is a promise to you, sir. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Here is another. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. If you do not appropriate these promises, you sin against your family. Now the enemy will not let go without a contest. This is played out so vividly in the story of Pharaoh versus Israel. He wanted the children. Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, and with our flocks and with our herds will we go. It takes a total commitment to God. Moses would not compromise with Pharaoh. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. You cannot allow hell a mortgage on your life. Satan will foreclose on your most precious collateral. Dad, your absence from the Wednesday night midweek service could mean the absence of your son from heaven when the roll is called. The blood contract is for the household. It is stated in both the Old and New Testaments. God said to Abraham, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God said to the law officer at Philippi, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And you have a right to implement what God has implemented. Noah implemented the contract for his household, all of them, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. God told the patriarch, come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Exercise faith, don't exercise worry. Four neighbors brought a man sick of the palsy to Jesus, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's so important to note that it wasn't the sick man's faith, it was the faith of the four friends. Your faith can prevail for another. So parent, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. I'll read it to you out of the New Testament. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And she exercised that faith for her household, and what a household it may have been. And Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. She had faith in that red cord. Unimpeachable sources had said, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet cord in the window, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. It won't come by wishful thinking. The man in my text was ready to go to jail for Benjamin's salvation. He said, thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. And that is exactly where you stand, Christian father, in relationship to your son. Your responsibility towards your offspring is farther reaching than you suppose. You are the priest of the household. The invitation, the altar, are your task and your responsibility. This lesson was indelibly written upon Israel. Face Leviticus 16:6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And every promise in the 66 books of the Bible are yea and amen in Jesus. Calvary makes every one of them current. The Roman military officer Cornelius was a recipient to this provision. Peter was instructed by the Spirit of God toward the Roman, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. It isn't God's fault that our children are not saved. It is our negligence in exercising the option, and so many times it is our lack of burden. The Bible doesn't leave us in a haze. It takes effort. Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. It isn't a question of either begging or bribing God. It is a question of believing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You've got to get steamed up about it. God's gifts are not in the category of public welfare. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Yes, sir, it's a life and death matter. Mister, you must get to Christ about your child's survival. Look at the other side of the coin for a moment. God was angry with Moses because he failed to put his children under the covenant. You can read about that in the 4th chapter of Exodus. Dad, you must contend, though your son is shaming you, by an uninhibited display of ungodliness like Abraham, who was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You must state the things that be not as though they were. Read Exodus 13:13, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. The power of Calvary is more than enough to overcome the rebel spirit, shapened in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived me. Too many look toward the church service to save your boy. Look toward God. Paul wasn't reached by a church service. The man who had charge of Christ's execution wasn't reached by the church service. It was the initiative of God. God does use and will use the church service to his glory. Dad, every day is Father's Day with you. God says to you, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. And the reverse is true. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Parent, there are rewards and penalties. I'll tell you this. You must work with God. The axiom does not change. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So there is the responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The family altar is nurture. Respect for marriage vows is nurture. Tithing is nurture. A disciplined temper is nurture. Work is nurture. That is the soil that creates results. I have observed that it is even worse to allow a boy to grow without chores and home tasks to perform than it is to allow a boy to skip Sunday school and church. And you'll find God's will about this in the New Testament. This we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And if there's anything a boy likes to do, it is to eat. There can be a vital connection between that stomach and the soul. It's a lot more difficult to bring a lazy, spoiled son to Jesus than it is to bring an industrious, obedient son to the cross. The writer of the Hebrews reduced it to the right combination, not to provoke them to wrath, but to provoke them unto love and good works. Eli lost his sons forever by a failure to discipline them, a failure to train them. They made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Now you must tie your son to yourself. How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? David did, although in remorse and hindsight. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, that grief will be yours someday, Dad, if you fail. When you unconditionally place your son on the altar, more can be done with him and for him than anywhere else. It is the altar that sanctifies the gift. Until you're willing to let your Savior have your boy for any service Jesus Christ designates for your son, you will find your prayers short-circuited. Jesus put it sharply. "Ye fools and blind," he said, "for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift?" And keep your hands off, Dad. Once you have truly placed your son on God's altar, do not cringe or object to God's manner in dealing with your gift. It is a terrible thing to try and steady the altar. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He is a better parent than you will ever be. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Read Lamentations 3:33. "For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." God is one Father who can say honestly that it hurts him more than it does us. Nothing worthwhile ever came without a test. You'll experience it, Dad, when you begin to contend for your boy. You'll feel as though you were headed toward sentencing. But believe, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Anchor yourself to God's word. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now this is a charismatic dividend provided to fathers with whom the Holy Spirit is indwelling. "I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." So take a new grip, Dad, and go after that boy. He has been promised to you. Now we're ready to come to the long, long altar, and we'll approach it once. Come with us. The altar is for whosoever will. That's a grand invitation, so accept it in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
We enter the Lord's courts with praise. We are ushered into his presence with thanksgiving. Please leave your criticisms, your fault-finding, your regrets, your doubts behind. And thank him for Calvary, the open tomb, his high priestly ministry, the word and the ministry of the Spirit of God. The fruit of your lips is the required New Testament offering for those who petition. Open your Bible, quote his word. You will make it possible to receive. Lord of glory, cover us as our nearest kinsman. Exercise thy nearness to us against all who prosecute claims against us. Secure our souls and bodies as Savior, Shepherd, Surgeon. We make this public confession that we belong to thee. Strike down by the word of thy mouth every adversary of sin and disease that would rob thee of glory in our lives. Keep us filled with thy spirit, inflamed for thee as compelling witnesses that a world system will notice. And come quickly. There is no answer except in thy advent. I ask by the authority of thy victory. Amen. Oh, I'm a better man when I pray, and when I pray often. The law of Jesus is to pray one for another. It makes the long, long altar so important. And we'll move along this altar that stretches everywhere with a gift of discernment. It is blessed to feel the heartbeat of Jesus and to look toward where he is looking in the special compassion toward one of his people. And thus I sense in this audience one who seemingly is so clumsy. You've been accused and taunted with being awkward and clumsy until all confidence has leaked away. and you are presently unsure of everything. You hardly trust yourself to dry dishes or to add a column of figures. It is disheartening and tormenting, but Jesus knows how you feel, and now he has come in this moment through this service to bless you, to restore your confidence, to silence all who henceforth would call you clumsy. The Master has spoken to my heart about this as his evangelist. So give praise and honor to Jesus and rejoice in your miracle. This has been the meeting, folk. It isn't a regular church house. You haven't heard bells ringing. There is no scent from candles, but we have met with the presence. He has gathered us as he did the 5,000 in a solitary place, and we have been instructed and blessed. And now we carry this message everywhere, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.